You know, well, welcome everyone to today's edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Thursday. That's right, Thursday, the 30th day of October, 2025. Don't forget, tomorrow's the last day of October. And this weekend, of course, we're going to have a Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time. That's after we adjust the clocks backwards. whatever, I guess, right? Then we lose the entire, the evening is gone. Look, I'm a morning person. Okay, so this is okay with me. But I got to tell you, there's arguments on both sides about, you know, standard time. But anyway, this... Nothing getting off topic, right? But this Sunday, of course, is going to be at 7 p.m. Eastern time is going to be the meeting of our supporters. Now, those people who don't live in the areas where you change your clocks, back in there are a couple, I guess, I think, right? Still? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So it's still 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's a real time in the U.S., I guess. That's what I think. Anyway, all right. So a lot of stuff to get into. Now, Steve Quayle's going to join me in the second hour. I talked to him today. Just, wow, a lot of stuff. Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff going on. All right. But I want to start out with something here. We're getting hit with a lot of stuff. And something occurred to me earlier on last week, this week. And I've been kind of ruminating about this, all right? What has been okay? So I'm gonna look at the chat right now. Stand by in Rumble, and folks, you can join us in chat in Rumble. You can. Is there a chat on X? Can somebody tell me that? Just curious. I don't know. When you say subscribers, what do you mean subscribers? Like, what do you subscribe to? Followers. So that's on you. So followers, right? Not, okay. All right. Cool. So for the 12 or 14 or 18 people that may see this on X, welcome to that chat, apparently, but I can't go to two places. So I'm going to just go to our chat, but I want to, what was my question now? I don't know. No. Well, okay. Okay. Let me go back here because I'm really interested to get into the fact that we're being played in all the time. We used to have we still do have the saying in our investigative unit that if you think you're being played, whether it's by a subject or a witness or whoever it might be, you are. Okay. Chances are you are. And we also have, you know, an adage too that, you know, sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we're not correct. We're wrong. So we have to realize that on both of those adages or both of those elements, okay, when we're talking about stuff like this. Sometimes you're wrong, meaning sometimes I'm wrong, sometimes you're wrong, sometimes we're wrong. And sometimes, or generally speaking, every time that you have that feeling, hey, I'm being played, yes, you probably are. Trust your gut, trust your instinct. We're going to talk about this because this is something that is really kind of unfolding now. And I think it has a very dark, very dark, very not so cool intent here. What's the big news right now? What's the big news? It's hard, boy, that's a bad question. What's the predominant theme, predominant narrative, predominant news item on the social media feeds today, yesterday, this past week or so? What's it been? And now this for the chat. Welfare. Yes. Cash Patel. Okay, so I'm looking at the chat. What's being pushed? What's the narrative that's being pushed right now? It could be by influencers. It could be by whoever. What's the narrative? But specifically, the people in power, the politicians. What's being pushed? Snap. Right. So whether it's left or the right, it's being pushed. And it's interesting because, again, 42 million and change people in the United States are receiving some type of welfare. Think about that, 42 million. Okay. Now, of that 42 million, 53% or over half are illegals, the illegal invaders into this country. We went over this before. And then, of course, you can break it down by place of origin. You got at the top, I believe they're Afghans or Somalians. Maybe that's one and two or two and one, whatever. So you can take a look at what has happened over the last 60 years specifically. And then you could take a look at what's happened over the last 8 years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever it might be, really since 2021, when the surge began in earnest with 20, well, more than that, millions, tens of millions of illegals by the Biden regime. All right. But I think here we're being played a little bit. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to go back in time for a second. I think this is pretty interesting. Did you know, when was the first toilet paper shortage? Does anyone remember that? I mean, in modern history, okay? Anyone remember when that occurred? Anyone want to take a stab at this? Yeah, and maybe that's not exactly the best way to ask that question. But there was something that occurred quite a few years, well over 50 years ago, that caused a toilet paper shortage. Does anyone remember that? And for this, I'll give you a cookie if you're in the chat here. I don't know how to do that, but again, I'm 10 seconds behind in the chat, so my bad, but oil embargo. Hey, 80s forever, bada bing, bada bang. Johnny Carson. Did you know? Now, I've talked about this before. The great toilet paper shortage of 1973. And you might say, well, you know, I didn't tune in to hear this crap. What the hell's wrong with you? Well, yeah, you did, because this is all kind of going somewhere. It was back in the winters, December of 73, when it was during the energy crisis. Whoever mentioned the oil embargo, yes, there was that. But economic problems and such, it was during the Nixon, the last full year of Richard Milhouse Nixon. Nice guy. But anyway, panic erupted over the potential for toilet paper being shorted, or shortage of toilet paper. And it was caused by what? And folks, this, man, I'll tell you what, this is so telling. It was one single joke made by Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show. It was lighthearted. It was just a quip about, a potential shortage. And that was in turn based on a congressman's warning. And you can find the history of it somewhere. I didn't search it out. But what happened was that joke, couched in some semblance of reality, caused this. Months, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. There it is, right there. It's when comedy was comedy, really.
Johnny Carson caused a toilet paper shortage in 1973. In the early 70s, the U.S. was starting to grow accustomed to supply shortages. On December 19th, Johnny Carson mentioned Froelich's warning in one of his monologues. Seeing as how he had an audience somewhere in the ballpark of 20 million viewers, Carson's mentioning of a potential toilet paper shortage triggered a nationwide toilet paper panic. Stores were unable to keep the stuff on the shelves, as customers filled their shopping carts with every last package of TP they could get their hands on. Stores had to start setting limits on the number of rolls each customer could buy. Some even doubled their prices, not necessarily to gouge customers, but instead to dissuade them from purchasing more than they needed. The more toilet paper people hoarded, the more customers were unable to find it on store shelves, thus convincing them further that there was actually a shortage. Eventually, however, consumers realized that the great shortage Froehlich had predicted wasn't actually taking place.
Did y'all go out, those, us of that age, did y'all go out and, or did your parents go out and buy toilet paper? Or in some cases, grandparents? Remember stocking up toilet? I don't remember that. Okay. I don't even remember that being a blip on the radar until you start digging down into some of the things about various, all psychological operations and how people react and some behavioral profiling. That, by the way, that has been taught, or that has been referenced, I shouldn't say taught, referenced, cited in at least two profiling courses I've taken and subsequently been certified in those two courses. But that's a very interesting, that's a really interesting piece of history. And again, you can drill down on that, and you can find out the nuances of that story. So, okay. So then let's fast forward, of course, because we are terrible at forgetting a lot of things, or because we're totally bombarded with news items, you know, you tend to forget like history, like even recent history, because, you know, hey, remember Nashville, Christmas Day, Nashville? Downtown. Remember that? Boom. What was that about? No, I'll tell you what. Hey, follow Patrick Byrne. Talk to Patrick Byrne about that. Anyway. But, okay. But remember the, obviously, you remember the COVID, the plandemic, the engineered crisis. All right. We're going to be talking about how we're being played right today with respect to SNAP and all of this. But what happened during that? Obviously, we had to stay home, right? People, we didn't have to, but people complied into staying home, not going to the store. And of course, there it is again. Gotta buy that toilet paper. I don't know. I don't know why. Hey, you just hey, you can convert to Islam and you don't have to worry about that, right? Yeah. Anyway. That's what we're seeing. Look, that's, folks, that's what we've been seeing. Thank you, Eric. Eric Tech is like, man, on target today. Of course, I got spanked for being late yesterday, but he's on target. Man, thank you, Eric the Tech. Appreciate that. Let's all have a round of applause for Eric. All right. Okay, so there's something about this termination of the, or pause or interruption of the SNAP benefits I'm going to address here. Because we've talked about the issue. And look, I think this is an issue. I believe that to be an issue. But I'm going to give you what I learned. This is what I learned. And this has served me well. And you can find various models out there of how to identify when you're being played. Or to shorten that up a little bit, like I did for the title, is how to identify a psychological operation, or PSYOP for short. And we are in the middle of so many. And you know what really peeves me off, man? I'm telling you. I hate to fall for something. And we all have been there, haven't we? Where we've kind of fallen for a specific narrative, a story, an excuse, or whatever the case might be, whether it's personal or professional, or even on the national stage or international stage. We've all fallen for stuff, right? And our parents especially, and our gullibility, when that gets attacked or tested, man, doesn't that just really peeve you off? I mean, yeah, it does me. Okay. How do we know the difference, or how can we best identify something that, no, that's playing us, that we're being played? There. Is that, right? Wait a minute. And there we go. That. Military Psychological Operations Manual. Yes. Now, there are... Wait a second. Hang on. Which way? Okay, yeah.
Illuminati.
Should I do that? Or wait a minute. Is that... I don't know. Is it this? Yeah. No, I'm not making fun of this because there is some validity to the Illuminati stuff. The subject of the Illuminati. But boy, I'll tell you what. Thank you, Eric the Tech, for mentioning that, because isn't that? I mean, we've been so programmed and so conditioned. Even ourselves, even today. Well, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist. Well, you know, gee whiz, would you stop couching what you're saying? Because you all are very intelligent. If you're listening to this broadcast, you're super intelligent. I guarantee it. Yeah, pat myself on the back, right? But you're all super intelligent, and I believe that to be the case. If you're not in front of a television set watching, you know, reruns of Green Acres, which I don't mind once in a while, but although that wasn't really for me, but we're all subject to being conditioned and being twisted and being pushed and nudged into being gullible and falling for these different narratives. So as I was looking at the response to the threats of store looting, of robbing people in the parking lot, robbing people in their homes. Look, I have no doubt as to the validity of some of the threats out there. Do you? I don't. Another adage or another, I want to say rule that we have as investigators, our unit is if someone tells you what they're going to do or who they are, believe them. Okay. That's believe them, which is always good advice. But sometimes people will try to dissuade you, and this is how we, or try to influence you otherwise. Now, how do we, again, I'm not certified to teach any of this, okay? I am not. However, I have certificates and have been certified in profiling and different levels of behavioral profiling. It's a whole big forensic thing. You don't want to hear about it. But anyway, so how can we tell when we're being gamed? Folks, we as a people do not have any idea how easily our behavior, yours and my behavior, or even ourselves, our own identity, can be completely taken over. Now, many people, the good news here is that a lot of people are starting to wake up and realize, wait a second, man, holy crap. And then they say, I'm not falling for this stuff again. And this is what makes us jaded, especially with, we're going to get beginning in something else too before Steve comes on. And that is, what the hell's going on with the FBI? What the hell, Department of Justice? Because, man, I'm a critic of it. But calm down, take a breath, and let's take a look. Let's see if there's any hope anywhere. And if you're like me often, you're going to say, well, there's no hope, burn it all down. Right? I mean, that's kind of my default anyway. But then you look and you think, well, wait a second, this and that, these things are happening. Maybe everything isn't all too bad. Maybe there is progress here. And again, Lucy, Charlie Brown, the football, I get it, right? We don't want to fall into that. But let's, you know, acknowledge forward movement when we can. All right. But let's also become aware and how to identify that psyop. If you're wondering why I can't point, everything's kind of backwards on the monitor. But anyway, all right. Here are several things to look for. So if you want to write these down, or you know, go back and look at this later and write them down, great. Again, this is what I've been taught. Now, others, I'm sure, have similar. I don't believe. In the courses I've taken, they're pretty much the same. Okay. There's variations on the model, but everyone's pretty much the same. So what I did was I tried to distill everything into one encapsulated version of this. So, okay. First of all, look or identify right now, identify whatever it is that is occupying your mind or your attention. What is grabbing your attention out there on social media? various YouTube channels or whatever. What is grabbing your attention? Especially look at whatever's most shocking. All right. So look at whatever is causing you to focus over here or look there. That's what you got to do. That's number one. That was like the big one. So if there is a story or if there is a narrative, boy, that word sometimes just grates on me. But if there's a story that is really attempting to grab and consume your attention, then heads up. All right. Now, look, that's not with behavior. When people take behavioral courses, I'll tell you what, I was really kind of crappy at it initially. And I'm not saying I'm great at it, but I'll tell you what, I can get by. Okay. But a lot of times people will speak in absolutes, and that's the wrong thing to do. For example, you know, and I've heard this used, and I myself have used this in conversation with other investigators. Okay. When we talk about behavioral profiling, and of course that's the infamous, you know, if somebody is saying that they, if someone is moving their head contrary to what they are saying, all right. For example, I did not do that. I did not rob that store. Okay. But their head's moving up and down. You say, oh, liar, 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 liar. No, because what we're looking for is a cluster, not one thing, but a cluster. And that would apply here in PSYOPs. How do you identify if you're getting gamed? You look for clusters. So we're talking here are elements, different pieces of the pie. Okay. So don't rely on just one. They should all be present. And then you'll be able to say, okay, there's a really great chance here that we are being played for a bigger, for something different, for something else. All right. So the whatever grabs our attention, and the more salacious, the more it's repeated, the more often or the more shocking it is, then especially when that incites fear. Fear. So hijacking your focus or your attention, and especially by fear, that's number one. We saw this with COVID, and do I have to make these disclaimers all the time? So I use the word COVID to describe that pandemic, what happened from, okay. So, but I get the, again, I get the that's probably a bad narrative, but okay, or a bad word. But remember the drilling of, you know, you got to get the shot. You got to wear a mask. You have all of these different things. You've got to do this. Remember seeing the videos of the people falling dead, allegedly falling dead in China. Remember the videos of, you know, just some of the most horrific videos. And then you had some of the most hideously stupid videos where you had people, you know, playing musical instruments, but you know, with holes in their masks. And then, of course, the examples are so many out there. But again, your focus was diverted to this huge problem, alleged problem. And you were introduced to a number of fear-inducing scenarios. Okay. Ask yourself, so you have your attention or focus attention, and then you have that's fine. Attention or focus. That's being hijacked, redirected. So ask yourself, why? Why is that message being pushed so hard? So why are they pushing this? Why is it so aggressive? Note, for example, especially in the corporate media, because the corporate media obviously is the most controlled part of all of what we see and hear. How much airtime is devoted, for example, to one story over another? How often is it repeated? Because repetition is part of this. And that repetition is part of how they focus or divert your attention onto a story. We've all seen the mashups of the videos, threat to democracy, right? We've all seen that. Okay. Understand that. Ask why. Why is the message being pushed upon us? How much airtime in the corporate media is given to one story over another? We saw this especially with, pick any subject that relates to President Trump. And I don't care if you don't like him or if you like him, it doesn't matter. The message news-wise or by the media should be neutral as opposed to obviously partisan, but it's not. But, you know, how much did this story get over this story? Ask yourself why that is, but also note the diversion of airtime. And also note the diversion of airtime or diversion of attention on social media, because social media now, they're writing these algorithms to divert your feed or to make sure your feed, I guess that's what they call it, right? Your timeline feed or whatever, with the stories they want you to pay attention to. It's not what you're interested in. It's what they want you to be interested in. So the attention focus, number one. Number two, when they trot out trusted figures, trust people in positions of trust, when those people drill down or shift their tone on a specific position that supports the narrative that you're being told to look at. We saw plenty of examples of this during COVID. Okay, plenty. So you're looking at the authority part of a narrative, a story. The authority aspect. You look at the authority figure or authoritative agency or whatever authority, a person, place that you would ordinarily subjugate to or allow to dictate your decision-making process. Those people become hijacked or operatives of the PSYOP. Witting versus unwitting, but regardless, that they are exploited to no end. So their authority figures do show up and they do. Sometimes they shift their position. A great example of this, a great super example of this is Fauci, for example. What was his position on masks initially? Nah, no masks. Don't need them. And then all of a sudden, no, you got to wear them. In fact, you got to wear them, you know. Yeah, you know the drill, right? So that's an example. And why I'm using COVID is because it was so in your face. It was so in your face. It's almost as if, wait a second, they want us to. They're modeling our behavior. They are driving our behavior to certain ends. And they're using, of course, our attention, diversion of our attention or focus to do it. And they're also using authority, people in authority that we may have respected or continue to respect to drive us to a different position in our minds, to control our behavior. All right. Then there's the group elements. Some have described this as a tribal element, but it's a group element. This is the creation of the polarizing camps. Okay, you want to be a part of this group as opposed to that group. In other words, there is this polarization that occurs. We can call it polarization. We could whatever. But you get the idea. So if the message out there, or if the narrative or whatever the story might be, if that creates this polarization that you're either the good guy or the bad guy, depending on your actions, there is something very primal about that. And there's something that addresses our primal behavior, primal, the most basic of our instincts, the most basic of our human bodies, okay, and our brains. So you don't want to be in the, you know, so-called not the good guys. You always want to be, or be so-called bad guys. You always want to be a good guy, right? By normal people anyway. So if the message, if the story ends up putting you either in, you know, camp A or camp B, it's a good chance what you're seeing, again, in the aggregate so far, is this, you're being played. The next thing, beware, obviously. This is the most obvious, but this is one of the biggest drivers, because I fall for this sometimes. I'm guilty of it. We all are. A story that triggers your emotions, if it appeals to you emotionally. Now, when I say appeal, if it impacts you emotionally, whether it is putting the whole bunch of fear into you, or a whole bunch of anger and outrage, or on the opposite side of, or, you know, hope, gives you hope. If the distinction is very severe, be very careful. Be very careful of any communication whatsoever that will trigger strong emotions. I could put a period right there and be done with that. I'll say that again. Watch out if a story, or if a post, or if a narrative, if a headline, or if whatever the case might be, if that causes an emotional response, you better, period. Well, if that causes an emotional response, comma, watch out. Look deeper, period. All right. Because, and especially those claims with no verifiable evidence or proof, you know, the anonymous, I got an anonymous source that told me X, Y, and Z, this is going to happen. How many times are we going to fall for that crap, right? All right. Those are the main, that's the frame of a psychological operation, or when somebody's gaming you. So to recap, diverting your attention to a specific story, hijacking your attention, or refocusing your interest or your day-to-day stuff onto a often repetitive story. And with that are very, very shocking visuals. Things that induce fear. The words like unprecedented, that comes to mind. Unprecedented. Man. Again, the use of language, or language, has been weaponized, and a lot of it has been weaponized by the very people who are attempting to control your behavior. So that's number one, the attention diversion, and subparts of that, using fear, using shocking videos and pictures, images, and what have you. All right. Number two would be you rely on people who you've trusted before, people that you would respect as being in authority, and they're shifting or refocusing their message, their position, perhaps even their tone, to a different story, and they suddenly begin to echo, parrot, and even support whatever story that might be. They could be doing that wittingly or unwittingly. Chances are it'd be the former. So watch there. Again, any one of these can happen without a problem, but all taken in the context of all of them, you could be pretty sure you want to look a little bit closer. So then you have the group think. If you're not for us, you're against us. I realize, of course, that It's often correct, but if that's being pushed in a slightly, oddly nuanced way, you want to pay attention. So, again, if a group or if you're taking a position and you are being ostracized or others are ostracizing you, pushing you out of the way, if there's a polarity here, a distinct and significant polarity, that's important for the psychological operation. Okay. So that's number three. And the last thing would be, what does it do to you emotionally? Does it hit you emotionally? Does it trigger very strong emotions, fear and outrage, anger, you know, kicking the dog? Don't do that. Don't ever do that. If I said, okay. But yet there's no evidence that is presented, because there is none. Is that present? Or if there is, it's ambiguous at best or non-existent. Is that there? So taken together, that will help you identify a psychological operations. And here's the thing about this, because to wrap this up, our minds are wired. Any change of focus, anything like not in the script, our expected script. For example, tomorrow, what do you guys do tomorrow? What are you doing tomorrow? Right, it's Friday. Yeah, it's Halloween, but what are you doing tomorrow? So you get up, you make coffee, you turn on the, I don't know, maybe you don't turn on TV or you look at your news feed or whatever. If something changes that pattern, then you go to work. But if something along the way changes, by the way, our brains are wired to like kind of almost like a remember the LPs, the records, wired to kind of follow that specific script or track. If something happens that bumps you out of that routine, which is fine. Innocuous things often do. But one of the characteristics as well is this something new that, wow, I haven't heard this and I better pay attention to this? Well, the gaming of people or the psychological operations, what they do is they exploit this change. Because I'll say this, we are wired to look at or to find possible threats against us. So if we're always on alert for threats, always on alert, whether you know it or not, your brain is working to kind of search out, is there a threat? Is there a threat? Is there a threat? And a change to the script could be a threat. It could also mean a potential opportunity as well, something good. But what I'm talking about is the evolutionary survival mechanism, and I'm not going to get into that, but because evolutionary, I don't know. I think it's a God-given instinct, but that's me. But is whatever happening, is that creating something away from your normal expectations and breaking your routine? It's because, again, is it something that's so unexpected, or if it's an unexpected crisis, the dramatic news or revelation, ask yourself, why is this new and why now? What is new? Why is it new and why now? We see this all the time. Diversion, for example. Oh my gosh. I mean, there are numerous examples, but imagine this. Imagine the news that really doesn't get much play of a corrupt government official being arrested or being charged. Then all of a sudden you see all these videos coming out kind of all in unison saying the same thing about this event that triggers your fear, your emotions, appeals to your primal part of your brain, and contains all of the elements of what I talked about. Okay. Watch that. Because again, why would people do this? Well, the reason people would do this, some people would do this, is divert your attention away from what is really important. And that's the fact that, hey, we just found this guy, this senator, you know, is bopping his Stepson. It just came to mind. Don't shoot me. All right. So in that process, also look for a centralized narrative. And again, there's that word. I want to find something different. A centralized narrative, centralized or common narrative. You have to look for other sources. And again, we saw this. How many times do we see this during that COVID? Or how many times do we see it during the Russian collusion hoax? How many times are we going to hear from the various stations, Sinclair stations, almost the same script? You know, again, that video mashup. So if all of these sources suddenly have a, which, by the way, should be an exhibit taught in psychological operations. By the way, in my class time, I'm done with all that crap. So now I'm, you know, why? Because I'm tired of it. But the fact is, having gone through this, I think that would be like the video mashups would be the prime exhibit for this particular centralized or common narrative that is used. And it can be as an exhibit of a psyop, this echo chamber that's created. And a lot of times that's done to silence dissent and look for others who are attempting to silence dissent, which also, narrows your perspective. I probably suck at teaching, but it's like, okay, I get this, and I know you get this on an instinctual level. You've had obviously the hairs on the back of your neck or on your arms kind of go up different times. That's your kind of like a primal instinctual thing. In my view, I believe that's kind of talk from the Holy Spirit or God saying, you know, watch out, man. Watch out. So that's a really great indicator. And I've often followed that, because what follows that often is not something you want to get into. All right. But when your perspective is narrowed because others are attempting to take away alternative stories or alternative people or whatever, you watch again. Very important to watch. We saw that through, again, the identical meeting media talking points. It's a big, big, big red flag. All right. Now, how do you fight that? You've got to go out and seek alternative viewpoints. And I hope you do. Independent people who are saying, man, this is not right. Even, and this is important, even if they challenge your belief system. What you thought was correct. Because a lot of times, remember what I said? Sometimes we're wrong. And sometimes we are. But, and also follow the dissenters of the narrative, because they will be silenced. The narrative shapers will ultimately silence, if they have the authority to silence, the dissenters. And when that happens, boy, not only alarms, but bombs should be going off in your skull, okay, that, you know, in your head, saying, oh, this ain't right. Yeah, we talk about cognitive dissonance. What the hell is that? Okay, cognitive dissonance, how can I best describe it? It happens when you receive information that is at odds with our beliefs. Now, some people will say, well, there's a lot of cognitive. I mean, some people will use that phrase without really understanding the entirety of its meaning. And I get that. Some people are well-intentioned, but understand what that means. You'll be doing yourself a favor if you really drill down on cognitive dissonance. But when information, sometimes novel information, there it is. Thank you, Eric the Tech. My goodness. I really love that guy. All right. So when... That's great visual. When your beliefs are challenged by new facts. Now, there's something called, and I don't know, I've heard this twice. And once was the gentleman that And I have to give him credit, Chase Hughes from NCI, the micro agreements. Now, you can keep that up. In fact, please do that, because that's really a great graphic. So there are weapons, our cognitive, there are weapons to shape certain beliefs and challenge certain facts. And I've heard this twice, as I said, Chase Hughes had mentioned this. He calls them micro agreements. Now, what are those? They're small, and I'm going to quote him right here from my notes. Microagreements are small, seemingly harmless concessions to shape your identity. Okay, and he also states that over time, you're going to unconsciously align your behavior to reduce that internal conflict. Okay, because it's a matter of comfort, intellectual comfort, as opposed to physical comfort. Now, an example of this weaponization, again, citing Mr. Hughes, assign, maybe you're going into the supermarket and you're asked to sign a petition. I'm citing him by topic only. And you're asked to sign a petition. And by signing that petition, you're taking a certain stance about an issue. I don't know. You want clean water. Well, who doesn't? But whatever. Whatever the topic is, you're asked to sign a petition. And let's say you do. But if that petition or if that, so oftentimes that will create the micro agreement, a micro agreement, a small kind of identity thing. It's a kind of a harmless concession in your own mind that does contribute to your identity or who you are shaping your identity. And over time, you're going to unconsciously align your behavior that reduces your internal conflict, any internal conflicts that you might have. And a weaponization of that is, for example, that side of paper where you have to sign, or you sign, you're asked to sign something that says, you know what, the smart individuals, the enlightened, those people really, really who are patriots or whatever the case might be, the good people, they sign this. And if you don't, then what's the default to that? Well, you're a bad guy. You're bad. You don't want clean water. You don't want whatever. Well, you get the idea, right? But a lot of times campaigns that are asking for seemingly minor commitments, you know, like getting that sign up sheet outside the grocery store or whatever, or even this, and we saw this. How many people do you know that changed their picture on their profile, the social media profile, to like a Ukrainian flag? Yeah. That is a perfect example of a micro agreement. And as things like that evolve, is there some bigger compliance or demand that will come later? That's a conditioning factor. That's important for the PSYOP. And you gotta also have to watch things like identity statements, who you are. For example, and I'm not opposed to this necessarily, but you have to be careful. Only real Americans buy local or buy from. Buy American made. Look, I get that. Yes, that's true. But when it's hardened and exploited to ridiculous levels, what is it? What's it trying to do to you? And that's kind of akin to these emotional scripts that you hear that override logic. If what you're hearing overrides a logic, then look, and you're looking at these emotional scripts or hearing these emotional things. If you feel like you're being manipulated by people, okay, chances are you are. And especially the exploitation here emotionally is like, for example, fear of loss, fear of harm, scarcity. Hey, Johnny Carson back in 1973, the toilet paper shortage, and so many examples subsequent to that. But isn't that something? People were on a single statement, which was a joke, because of fear of loss of the ability to, you know, have toilet paper in their home or scarcity, they responded to this. A perfect example of this appealing to the emotion of fear, whatever fear that might be. And then the big thing, of course, is who benefits? Follow the money. You got to follow the money because you have to identify the trail of beneficiaries or the people who are the people who make the money or derive the benefit from all of this. So what the hell am I talking about all of this for? Spending so much time on this for? All right, tomorrow or Saturday, if things don't change, if things kind of stay level, what's going to happen? SNAP benefits are going to be cut off, 42 million people. All right, now, is that a bad thing? In my view, no. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the people who are in need, I hope in my heart of hearts that we all pitch in and help each and every one of them. That's what God wants us to. I mean, that's if we can. I'm not saying we, if you can't, then you can. But we can help our neighbors. If they're infirmed, if they're a veteran who's, you know, really had a bad go of it, or whatever the case might be. The last thing that you want is this captivity. I would think the last thing somebody taking handouts wants is to get the handout or be dependent on the handout. All right. So, but again, I'm kind of diverting the topic here. So if things go to plan, right, what's going to happen? If that element, or if the number of people on the videos, TikTok and X and all that, as you see, we're going to go out and steal again from your house, from the store and such, especially from the store. If that does happen, or if that does play out, and I'm sure it will in certain areas, and I'm sure it's going to get bad in certain areas, who benefits from that? Who benefits? Well, take away the actual act, but the fear-driven response or the survival response to the taking away of the benefits. What's going to be the larger result of that? What happened after 9/11? What happened after, insert event here, okay? After 9/11, the security measures were expanded. The authority was expanded by the authority of the federal government and federal investigative agencies was expanded. What's going to happen after, you know, 5 or 6, 7, 8, 12 hits a Walmart in South Central LA or whatever, wherever? They're going to suddenly, you know, somebody is going to either shut down the store or online only or pick up only. In fact, I saw one story. I don't know where it was. I just happened to see it right before the show, where a Walmart somewhere is going pick up only, online order pick up only. Isn't that kind of the objective, folks, behind, you know, the 15-minute cities, restricted travel? Hey, we have to, you know, for your own safety, we have to put in these particular guardrails of operation. Aren't we now, because of, in this case, because of fear, perhaps, choosing, and because of the narrative, choosing to, I better order online. I better break from my usual script of what I do instead of going to the grocery store on Sunday morning or Monday morning or Monday evening. I better just order online. If they have a pickup service, I can order and have it picked up. Our behavior is being changed, but who benefits from that? Chances are the same people who are talking about, you know, this new world order, this one world government, this whatever. And you're going to find a lot of people who are manipulative. And what do? They shift the context to normalize extreme behavior. So what you're seeing with regard to the repercussions from SNAP is not a normalized behavior. So always keep in mind what we're seeing in front of us is not because we searched that out necessarily, unless you like watching, whatever. It is pre-selected in order to manipulate what you see, what you hear, and thereby causing what? A fear-induced behavior, perhaps, or changing your behavior to subjugate yourself to a higher authority willingly, so they don't have to fight you for it. So a lot of times when people hear stuff like this, this is a massive realization. When they realize that others have the ability and are using that specific ability to weaponize, for example, cognitive dissonance, the people in power can actually shift the context, for example, to get anyone to do just about anything, to act in any kind of manner. And there are numerous hypothetical examples out there, but there are numerous real examples out there. But again, watch for the psychological operations. Ask yourself who benefits. Ask yourself in your own, is what I'm hearing, is it based in fact? And or even again, from an instinctual level, is there an issue? Is something doesn't sound right about this? If you feel that way, if you feel like, man, and last, I'm going to close with this. You've been in situations, and I'm sure you have, when you've met someone and spoken with someone perhaps, or even had a date or something, I don't know. But, you'll say, man, there's something not right about this whole thing. There's just something not right. Jack, did you ever get that feeling? Something not right about this. Listen to that. Because there are some primal reasons for that. The physiological, psychological primal reasons for that. Again, I'm not a psychologist, psychiatrist, nor do I play one. But the fact of the matter is we have to use our noggins and our God-given instinct to maintain our beliefs and understand that we're being played a lot of times. And we have to resist that. Resist being played. All right, with me, coming up right now is Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. But by the way, folks, leave a comment at Rumble after this episode. Leave a comment. Tell me what you think. Did I waste your time? Or was this worth it to you? Did you learn anything? Let me know. And you can find other examples on the internet about what the elements of different psychological operations, but pretty much they're all the same. But let me know how I did. All right. So Steve Quayle's with me. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com joining me right now. Glad to see him. Glad he's back after a lengthy absence, but I appreciate it. Steve, how you doing, sir?
Well, good, Doug, and it's good to be back with you guys, and I'm glad you took the first hour. And the second hour, I'm going to talk about the most dangerous statement I know made, and it's to basically resume the atomic tests, open-air atomic tests. The last time that happened was in 1958 on the Eniwetok Atoll, and it was a hydrogen bomb. So I just quoted a little note here, Doug, and I said, when words escalate, actions follow. You know, if you've ever seen a barroom brawl or a Western movie, there's a lot of insults. Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of insults, and then there's pushing and pushing back. And finally, it's absolutely the game on. So what I'm really concerned with is the escalation of rhetoric, but also the numbing and dumbing down of the West, and especially their nuclear posture of pushing for a nuclear war with Russia, for pushing with a nuclear war with China, pushing with a nuclear war with Iran, and pushing nuclear war into everyone's, let's say, repertoire, because it's insanity, and it's absolutely now in the headlines of the day. And so I would like, if you would, to have Eric put up the list I gave you, because I want to hit this thing running, because I know we only have an hour. The list was what the playback, if you will, and payback of what's going to take place if we start matching. We do an open air test, and that's what President Trump's pushing for immediately. I do not believe that he is being given, President Trump is being given good information. I don't believe he's being given accurate weapons information. And I believe that the deep state is still fully functioning. So the point that I want to make tonight, right out of the chute, right out of the box, is that there's a whole lot of lives at stake, 250 million Americans. And this talk, I mean, the cavalier attitude towards nuclear war is astonishing to me. What Tulsi Gabbard did when she went and literally viewed Nagasaki and Hiroshima was to put into context, for her own mind's sake, the devastation that obviously nuclear weapons, those towns have been built up, cities have been built up. But when you see the devastation, and those were, let's say this, those were Little League atom bomb explosions compared to what we have now. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the last week, we've watched the information come out about Russia's new cruise missile. And I'm just going to call it by, instead of murder the Russian, I'm going to just call it what it is, Skyfall. That's the NATO definition for a cruise missile that can stay indefinitely aloft, having whatever warheads are so chosen, whether it's nuclear warheads, kinetic warheads, even massive chemical warheads, any type of warhead that you can imagine are on those cruise missiles. Now, they're not announcing something that's out there that they're building. And I want to make this golden rule to everybody. When they announce, whether it's Russia, United States, when they announce, Russia demonstrates, but the United States obliviates. Okay, there's a great statement. So what I want today and tonight, by the grace of God, is to bring people's attention to the fact you're not going to get away with, you know, some bombs over there and, you know, mushroom clouds over here. It's going to be pretty problematic. And did you guys find that list? I sent it to your Proton.
Okay, I'm looking. There it
is.
That's
it, right there. And if you don't mind, Doug, I would like to read this.
Please do. Yes.
And here is the, this is in, for me, it's in a chronological form. Now, here's a series of events and statements on both sides, which bring us to the situation that exists today. We are at a, let's say this, a wrong decision moment where full-scale global nuclear war will break out. Not can, will. The Russians did a final test on the first production unit of their cruise missile, nicknamed Skyfall, by NATO, which has a micro, small, but powerful nuclear reactor for its power. Because it has a nuclear reactor for flight power, it can fly for hours or days or weeks before hitting a target. The unlimited fuel supply allows the cruise missile to turn and dodge radars and intercept missiles. And also, since it can dodge radars and intercept missiles, it can fly from 50 feet above the ground level to 50,000 feet above ground level, AGL. This means it can go below the level of where radar, and this is critical, systems can track it, thus making the new proposed USA Golden Dome air defense system worthless. When Russia announced this, and just hold right there for a minute there, when Russia announces, they change the face of global nuclear war forever. Because typically, ICBMs or even submarine-launched ballistic missiles, They arc, I mean, they go straight up, they arc ICBMs, and then they come down. This changes everything. In essence, where you used to have to go through a, let's say, 4.5 minute launch protocol in the U.S. to get the silo base, then obviously all of the code checking for submarine launch base missiles, Russia changed the face of the battlefield. Now, look, I want everyone to really follow this, and this will be obviously, a matter of record, but the types of warheads the Russian cruise missiles can carry are nuclear warheads, ultra-explosive warheads, which are almost the same explosive power as a nuclear warhead, but they have no fallout. Open-air nuclear testing, ladies and gentlemen, will give fallout. And we got enough problems with people with thyroid issues from the, from 50 years ago and 70 years ago now. So here's what else they have, and this is really important. They have conventional warheads with TNT or C4 and also kinetic warheads with pinpoint accuracy. We watched that take place in, obviously, the missile attack on the Ukraine. It blew a giant crater. It didn't touch any buildings around it except the building that they knew housed NATO, and that there shouldn't have been any NATO troops there, but there are. The missiles have very good internal computing and software system to help it achieve its design and mission objectives. It's not some AI system, and this is important. It's a complex guidance system designed with the missile to allow it to get to the target while avoiding things that want to shoot it down. In other words, it has internal evasive maneuver capabilities, and there is nothing like this in the United States. Now, well, the U.S., under the abomination of damnation under Clinton, who gave all his secrets away in our top secret patent library, and even going back to George Bush Sr. giving the Chinese the neutron bomb plans, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, a situation in this country where we haven't kept up. We haven't kept up. And then it's public knowledge. Everything I'm talking about is open source intelligence, or OSINT. We have even allowed the most trained nuclear technicians to be fired by DOGE. And it takes 2 years to train a nuclear technician. I mean, they go through a lot of stuff. They have to have good manual dexterity. They have to be able to think fast. They have to be able to follow instructions. That all went away under DOGE when they all got fired, okay? And no one even thought about it at the time. Now the U.S. government is trying to hire them back, and they say, we're not coming back. And that was obviously at Los Alamos in New Mexico. There's open source on this. So here's what I want people to understand.
And Steve, if I can just punch in here, a lot of the open source information, because of the first hour, I'll just say this. A lot of what you're talking about exists overseas. To find this information, don't expect to find it on the American media. You'll have to go to the BBC or some other outlet overseas to find out what Steve is talking about. And I will add one more point. Exactly what he was talking about, for example, the Poseidon missile, that's kind of old news. Skyfall, you want to find information about that, you have to. A lot of this is overseas, open source intelligence. Go ahead, sir.
And I want everyone to know that when the Poseidon nuclear torpedo came out, which is autonomous, which can literally, and it has 100 megaton warhead, that everybody poo-pooed it in the U.S. Defense Department. And then Britain, let's say probably a year and a half, they had a couple of them off the coast of Britain, because these things are able and capable at 100 megatons of creating a radioactive tsunami 1,500 feet tall. If you think of everything that has a coast, East Coast, West Coast, and I got to tell you, operational security does not exist anymore in this country, especially when the president announced that one of our state-of-the-art missile subs, Boomer, a nuclear submarine, was someplace in Russian waters. Well, gee, you didn't see President Putin firing back. Well, we got three off your East Coast, we got three off your West Coast, we got three off your Gulf Coast, and not to mention Cuba. Cuba has an underwater submarine base at Cienfuegos Bay. And I know what I'm talking about. This has been my passion for the past 30 years at least. And again, in the Arctic, the high ground is controlled by the Russians. They even moved floating nuclear reactors into the Arctic. We don't even have, I think, one nuclear icebreaker, possibly one, but Russia's got a half a dozen. And they also have floating nuclear reactors that can generate huge amounts of power. They don't have to worry about cooling it, because the water obviously is cold. The air is cold in the Arctic. And then it produces a staggering amount of energy. And so Russia controls battles the high ground. So, Eric, if you'll go back to my list, because we'll finish it up, because I really got to get through this list. It's that critical. So, again, this is important. Now, Donald Trump raged and told the USA military to immediately begin open-air nuclear weapons testing again. That was open source. And he's being lied to, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a put-down of the president. This is a strategic deep state. And for the record, my definition of deep state is everybody pretty much who's in government. It even goes to the purchase senators and congressmen and women that are on Chinese payrolls and everybody who sold their country out. That's who the deep state is. You can change any head of any department, i.e. we're watching it now with the head FBI. He's at war with Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence. And by the way, she really is smart and she really is a woman who understands what's going on. She was in the military. And I got to tell you, people should pay attention to her. But now there's a push to get Tulsi, I'm going to call her Tulsi, out of the DNI position. And the FBI, as you know, Doug, and you probably are talking about it, are hammering anything that doesn't fit the official Charlie Kirk narrative. So yeah. I'm talking more importantly. I'll let you guys deal with that. My focus is on World War III. My focus is on military advances that the United States cannot catch up. So, and this is this is so frustrating to me because I'm trying to maintain my cool. But, you know, I'm going, listen, the rod's out of the reactor. People, you've got to understand, please, your congressmen and your senators, you should be writing them. You should be screaming at them. You should be calling them. You should be texting them. The United States has no civil defense. For 40 years in the survival business, like, yeah, 40, maybe more than that now, but 40 years, you know, I've been trying to basically at the top of my lungs say, people get prepared. The United States has no functional, and this is true, or I would say this politically incorrect, and this is politically incorrect, because the average common man in the United States has no place to go. And so when World War III is ready to blow, it's time to really step back. My prime directive, Doug, is to save as many lives as I can. Only Jesus can save lives in eternity, but I want people to recognize that this is a big deal. Eric will go back and I won't leave the screen until I finish it. It's important, okay? All the test explosions that are being put forth by the president will be airbursts, which means that fallout will travel much further and will travel around the world. When you're dealing with atom bombs, you're dealing with two radioactive isotopes, more, but plutonium 239 and cesium 137. And plutonium has a half-life in a couple hundred thousand years. So they've supposed that, and they're proposing, and I wrote that wrong, should be proposed purpose for doing these tests is to deter Russia and China from using nuclear weapons because U.S. has, again, not an accurate statement, but Russia has more warheads and bombs and ones which have bigger explosive power than the biggest USA ever made, but no longer has an inventory. That's true. We're dealing in, you know, very small yield nuclear weapons compared to what the Russians have. So when you make the statement and you're being held in the dark on who has the better weaponry, I'll go on record again, President Trump is, there is no big hammer. And I think it's interesting. You see a level of maturity in the Russians. Listen, you know how it is. The tough guys really aren't the ones that are talking about or throwing the first fist. But the point is that we're watching you guys. The same thing that happened to President Trump during his first, his first presidency. You're watching the British press primarily, the U.S. press, the New York Slime and others. They're always downing President Putin. Now, I'm not an apologist, but I want to share this. When somebody has the ability to kick nuclear ass, I think, and he restrains himself, I think that's a show of character. When somebody says, we're going to drop bombs on Russia and blow their butts off. I'm sorry, but we've made that statement. The president has. What we're doing is we're antagonizing people, and we do not have the ability. In every war game against China, let's take Russia out, China, take, meaning put them to the side in the discussion, 18 times in the war games, everything that anybody could possibly conceive of, China beat the U.S. every time. Every time. So again, it's important. Russia then responded by running a test on its Poseidon. That's what you're talking about. A weapon, which is a very large underwater unmanned vehicle, which has a micro nuclear reactor as a power to move under the ocean. It has a 100 megaton nuclear warhead, which is the largest nuclear weapon manufactured in 2025. And, you know, the Russians were the first to build a 100 megaton nuclear weapon. It was called the Tsar Bomba, but they had to dial back the yield to 50 megatons. Now, this is really important. Here's the key. The underwater drone is a very well-made guidance system which can be uploaded with new target data or instructions. The guidance system of these two weapons are not AI. This is critical. They are not AI, because Russia does not trust the AI system to follow precise instructions regarding target approach and avoiding threats on the way to the target, etc. The U.S., and here's where we're going to end, the U.S. has nothing like either of these two weapons, and there are no defense against these weapons. So here's what I want to say. How is it that every time a true statement is made about weaponry, and by the way, Putin has demonstrated it, and I'm saying this to everybody. Why is it that the Defense Department isn't telling Donald Trump? Now, maybe he doesn't want to hear it, but we're talking, Doug, about, I would say this, depending on how many weapons go off where, in the United States alone is 250 million people that will die. 250 million. The Russians have already laid out their targets. They've already defined them, and they've already told people this is going to how it's going to happen. And I'm a pragmatist, ladies and gentlemen, a total pragmatist. Well, you're not very optimistic. No, I'm not. Well, you're not very, oh no, they'll say, you're very pessimistic. I say, beyond pessimism, it's pragmatic realism, okay? I can't deal, and if you, Eric, you'll leave that up. I cannot deal with people who hope, wish, or think, or say, you know, if I just close my eyes, it isn't going to happen. But the diagram you see here is of the Poseidon nuclear. It's actually a drone / torpedo. And there's nothing like this in existence in the U.S. Navy. And the British took it seriously again when they had a couple of them off of the British Isles. And it's not a leap of faith to say you don't want to deal with one of these if you're on an island nation. For instance, the East Coast and the West Coast would be toast. The Gulf Coast would be toast on a 100 megaton nuclear explosion. And the Russians also have a strange and amazing submarine called the Belgorod. And the Belgorod is capable of carrying six of these torpedoes, and the submarine was built for this, and some of the most sophisticated and the deepest diving capabilities and the most stealthily designed sub in the Russian military. So, ladies and gentlemen, these are real facts. You can have your opinion. You can have your opinion. I have an opinion. But what is the evidence that backs up my opinion? A prosecutor has to have enough information to make his case. A defense lawyer has to see the errors in the evidence, or he has to point out that, in essence, the defense is got to find contrary, Doug, am I not correct, evidence to show that what the prosecutor is presenting is not the whole truth. So we watched the president be destroyed in his first term. And I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on, that was flat ass wrong. And the spineless Republican rhinos, and I call them zombie cons, did not stand up. He did not stand up. And, you know, the Trump Legal fees were $250 million. But where was the stand for righteousness? Now we've got judges. And in my opinion, I don't know if you said this, my opinion, the American judiciary is dead as far as being impartial. And in essence, Lady Justice has basically taken the blindfold off. The scales are gone. And now it's a free fall. By the way, in the Bible, the mystery of iniquity is lawlessness. And so we're now watching, and Doug, you brought this up years ago. You said that lawfare would be the order of the day. So that's law and warfare together. So now what's important is this. Remember, everyone, and this is critical, you cannot expect, if the United States goes ahead, and I hope that's where he takes that statement back and explodes an atmospheric nuclear weapon, you can't expect Russia to no longer abide by any nuclear treaties. And they're already saying that. But what we've done with the United States, we've basically raped, pillaged, and plundered the U.S. military. Everyone knows that every day we're having problems with fighters off of aircraft carriers going down or helicopters crashing. And ladies and gentlemen, there are open source intelligence papers that are talking about electronic warfare capabilities of Russia that the United States does not possess. And I want to share something. I got a lot of emails saying, what was that green thing that was crashing over Moscow? Was that an asteroid? Was it some form of a spirituality? No. In warfare, we're at war, Doug. This is, I think if I said that 700 times, the first thing that will be taken out are the eyes and ears in the skies, i.e. spy satellites. And we had, and then, the Russians had, geostationary satellites. So I'm saying this, with what I'm hearing by rumor in the background is that you've got to tell the people, Steve, this is from people that, no, you have a base, I have a base, we have a base, that the first thing that goes down when the war starts is all command, control, and communication. And because of the amount of U.S. help to the Ukrainians and the British and the French, it doesn't matter when we say, well, we're not at war with Russia. We certainly are. We're overseeing it, and there's nothing to back it up. Doug, the food production in the United States, has gone critical. Now it's crazy. We're making war on the cattle farmers. And I made a statement years ago, as goes the American farmer rancher, so goes the country. And they're destroying both. They're destroying both. And by the way, they've now proven that windmills, or wind turbines and all the solar panel arrays, they put that on some pretty prime ground. And now they're finding out the amount of steel used and the amount of energy to produce them they don't have enough payback to ever pay back. And so it was a design, if you will, criteria to put them into the areas where would be prime farmland. Look, I live in Montana, and we have wind farms up here that are really big, not like California, but and they kill the eagles and everything else. But you look down, you go, I'm looking down. I'd fly the state and took a lot of aerial photos and aerial film. But you look down, you go, man, why did they put them there? And it's interesting because one wind farm, I won't tell you where it is, but let's say this, within 100 miles of Bozeman, you can probably figure it out. I never saw the turbine spinning once. And even though we had tailwinds or headwinds, never saw them spinning once. That's a strong statement. And so not that I could be there 24/7, but just like a timing light, when you want to check an engine, the mechanics use a timing light. And what I'm saying is when you observe certain events happening at random and intermittent times, you can get a pretty good picture. Whoa, things are not as they seem, or things that we're seeing are, we're told there's to be something, but they're not as they seem. So what I'm saying tonight on this program, and thanks for letting me come on after an absence, that we're watching, ladies and gentlemen, quid pro quo, and we have nothing to back up the NATO attempt to tell Russia that basically if they don't toe the line, you know, we have nuclear weapons. And I believe, and I think it would be wise for people to understand that when a test goes off in the atmosphere, that absolute, let's say radiation goes up in the upper atmosphere, stratosphere, and it circles the Earth. And again, with all the cancer out there, it will just increase thyroid cancer. It'll increase all various forms of cancer. And it's just not the way to do it. Neither is provoking an enemy. And we did that until, and I'm not saying Russia's an enemy, but I'm saying they were made to be out an enemy by the same people that tried to destroy Trump. They used, obviously, rules for radicals, you know, the 13th point, and they just kept beating him with lies and lies. They do that to President Putin. That pisses me off. They do that to Dmitry Medvedev. That pisses me off because they're using the same, if you will, neuro-linguistic programming, and you were talking about mind control, I think, or addressing a little bit. You know, you tell a lie, you tell a big enough lie. And so what they're doing is to the Russians and the Russian people, if you were a Russian, standard guy in the street, you know, obviously I don't speak Russian, but if you were to query that, what will they see now on social media in the United States? They'll see people talking about, we're going to kill you people and eat you. You know, hey, there's an open source. There's all these people. We're going to take what you got. You know, we're talking food now, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to make sure that I do everything I can. And I sent Eric a list of some suggestions for people that are going to go food shopping. Food is going to be the new, if you will, the new and most sought after commodity in the world, even as gold explodes and silver explodes. And by the way, you know, I think the last time I was on, it sold off, and now it's coming back with a fury. So if people want to understand what controls the gold and silver market, this is a little aside. It's when the whales, the multi-billionaires and the Middle Eastern trillionaires and the Chinese trillionaires, there are trillionaires. Well, they decide to buy all the gold up, they drive the price up, and then they sell paper gold short because they've got the juice, they have the actual, and then they drop the price of gold down. Then that premium that they received, they go and buy the physical. So again, that's what's happening. It'll be a seesaw until then it becomes a rocket launch in the stratosphere. And I'm telling you, the anomalies in the gold and silver market are just mind-boggling because, again, you know, people had a chance to buy silver, and I would encourage everyone to buy silver. Gold's pretty steep. Right now, to buy gold with a commission and the cost of getting it from the wholesalers, about $4,200 an ounce. Some places, $4,300 an ounce. Because gold dealers, all of us, have to buy at whatever the mint charges the distributor. The distributor puts on his charge, and then we put on a Mickey Mouse, a very small commission. And, you know, people can't recognize that I'm XYZ gold, or Renaissance gold, or ship gold, we have to buy at market level. And that's what the mints charge us for. Now something's happening, and this is what's happening. The Chinese, brilliant. They're buying the gold mines. They're buying the silver mines. They're buying them in Africa. They're buying them in South America. And they will pay in cash for the entire mine's production for a year. So let's say this. Let's say a mine, you know, or a couple mines can produce a million ounces of gold a year. Well, they'll pay that mine owner, unless they buy the mine, they'll pay him up front for probably 80% of the value of the gold. So right now, if you have a million ounce producing mine, that's worth, you know, that's worth $4 billion, you know, because a million times 4,000 is $4 billion. So what's going to happen, and again, I use my poor example, but if this mouse is where most people buy their gold, well, I guess that's out of focus. Anyway, if the mouse represents a mine and you buy the mine, you don't have to sell your gold to anybody, do you? And so there's going to be, and already starting to be, talk, especially from Switzerland, behind the scenes. This is more than rumor, and you can read between the lines on this one, everyone, that they don't want to take U.S. dollars, and because the dollar is depreciating so rapidly. And the central bank digital currency will turn into an electronic cage. And we've watched the, if you will, the prototype in China. You can be this is a new word I'm making up, de-Chinesicated, meaning you can have a social credit score. One minute you can have a house, one minute you can have food and a job, and one misspoken word, guess what? All that stuff goes away. And didn't we hear those two demons that, you know, surpass anybody, at least at this point, in my opinion? Didn't we see the head of the WEF, you know, the Blofeld out of James Bond villain type guy? And then we see Yuval Harari, you know, talking 2 days ago about there's too many people. We got to basically get rid of them. So, you know, I think Klaus Schwab, and I think that it's imperative to everyone. And again, when you think of the end of the age, it's not the end of the world, but age, just do it the way I do it. I mean, I remember it is annihilation, genocide, and human extinction at the end of the age, because that's what's working in all of our backgrounds. I'll give you a chance to talk and I'll shut up.
No, I mean, I'll tell you what, you said a lot there, and obviously you can apply that concept, the concept of, for example, about silver, about gold, perhaps even more familiar or common right now is real estate. What's happening with the real estate? Kind of the same concept in a sense. You have, for example, BlackRock coming out and companies like BlackRock buying up houses by the block, residential housing by the houses by the block, that of course creates that both a scarcity and also a demand. The examples that comparative to what you said about silver and gold are plentiful, especially with everyday items, things that we need to live, food, for example. There you go. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Continue. Go ahead.
Well, and ladies and gentlemen, food is being weaponized every day. Another recall from the Food and Death Associates, the FDA or the USDA. They're always saying that, well, believe to have, may have, could have, you know, what was it? 6 million eggs were just taken off the market about a week ago. And ladies and gentlemen, every time you see one of those recalls, the majority of them, I'm not talking about salmonella, I'm not talking about Legionnaire's disease, I'm talking about misprinted labels, where if somebody has an allergy to milk and milk is not on the label, it's not too much for those companies to recall all of it to the factory and label it correctly. But it never happens, because in the background, Doug, what you're talking about is that food is being not only commoditized but weaponized. Because again, you know, I'm aware of everything that is happening in the food, and when I say this, I just know so many people. But for instance, you know, the Walmart thing, the rumor of it closing down, well, they could close the front doors and still allow you to order online or to, you know, pick up or to deliver. But I think what's tragic is that when a nation will not tell the people the truth, Then you have supposition coming in. You have worst case scenarios coming in. And then when, you know, we flip flop in our leadership, one day, yeah, one day, no, one day, yeah, one day, no. And you have to take those statements back. I have yet to hear, and I don't believe it exists or I even know about it. I have yet to hear President Putin ever be threatening, except when he counters the threat with the reality of their weapon system. Look, the United States has no defense industry any longer. We've been cut off from all medicines and medical equipment coming from China. We've been cut off from all gunpowder and all the chemicals that the United States uses to make weapons, and also rare earths. We've been cut off from the advantages of being able to import specific foods from specific places. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have one of the biggest, best cattle industries in the world. And now we're making war at a government level against the cattle ranchers. And I stood, you know, one of the very first things that I wish I would have stayed on longer, Doug, is, as the American farmer and rancher goes, so go the American people. That's why Willie Nelson and Chris Christopherson had the first Farm Aid conference, or not conference, but concert.
Concert, yeah.
Yeah, and they raised money. Ladies and gentlemen, does it seem strange to everyone that Bill Gates of hell, in my opinion, is talking about synthetic meat, and nobody wants it, synthetic goo from him to you? And they even have engineered into meat that they can sneak it into a genetically modifying organism that takes your desire for meat away. It's almost, I would call it a repulsive additive. So when I see people tampering with everything, and now you get the smart asses, sorry if that's offensive, the smart asses in the PhD Ivy League schools, and I want to say this, they're poison ivy, saying, well, you know, we really should consider turning humans into a food source. And I said, well, pal, jump into a wood chipper. You know, I mean, that is astonishing. Then we have cannibalism being promoted. Now, look, this is the I'm not saying this is across the board. What we have, a woman, a black woman, said, you know, we're going to kill you white people, and you won't even know, but we're going to kill you and eat you. That's all across the internet. But what I'm saying is that when the Civil War kicks in and kicks and takes over, food will be, you know, you can't feed a military. Now, I want to ask everybody, how is it that we have all this money to give away to all of the different immigrants? And I mean, by the billions, even since Joe Bidenstine started to accelerate the destruction of the U.S., you know, and yet we can't pay the U.S. military without a private donation from a billionaire. I don't even know his name, but they showed him $130 million. We put out a private briefing, Doug, that, excuse me, showed how much, I'm sorry, you got the hiccups, how much food it takes to feed the U.S. military a day around the world, okay, per day, then per week. And so you mean to tell me we've got people ready to give their lives defending this country, and we're telling them, hey, we got to borrow some money to feed you. And it's absurd. It's crazy, in my opinion, but nevertheless, it's happening. So when you heard that, Doug, I mean, seriously, did that not just slap you in the face? Could you believe it? In essence, we got to beg for money. So we're going to have $20 trillion investment in the United States. Big deal. Get those guys to pop some money. See, everything's in the future. Everything's in the future. But the tension in World War III is in the now. The tension of Civil War is now. Future promise, you can't pay your mortgage. If you owe a mortgage, I'm using you as an example, me. If you don't have money to pay the mortgage, well, you know, I think I'll put you to work 3 years from now, and you'll make $100,000 a year, and you can buy, or $200,000, whatever. And that's nothing nowadays because of inflation. And ladies and gentlemen, I maintain that To my knowledge, there may be some, but I do not know of any company that's giving 30% inflationary, price increases, or not price increases, but wage increases. There's no way anybody can keep up. You mentioned BlackRock. BlackRock has got deals cut. I'm told, rumored, alleged, I'll use all the buzzwords, alleged to have made deals with insurance companies as they crash the insurance, like let's say in Florida or Hawaii, crash means they won't write policies. BlackRock will come in and buy the entire mortgage area in, let's say, Maui, or let's say in Malibu, California, or whatever. And now it's come out that whole fire was staged. And Gavin Newsom was the one that gave the order that there'd be no water in the reservoir. So, again, here it is. Isn't it interesting? The liberal elitist leftists lose some of the most expensive property, but they still vote for that Newsom guy, N-E-W-S-C-U-M, and he's decided he's going to run for president. Well, there's only so much he can burn down. But the point is that all my efforts at this point forward are designed to, I can't stop biblical prophecy from being fulfilled, nor would I, but I can buy time. If this hour that I'm on tonight buys someone another day, or, the people that are listening, buys them another month, meaning getting them time to get ready. And Eric, I want to share something. Because of the grocery situation, it's now, I'm telling you this, I call it battlefield parking lot is coming into play. And I wrote, Doug, for the tonight, for the members of, your support group, my support group, the listeners, advice to give to women, because they're the most usually vulnerable people when they buy groceries. And I don't know, Eric, it probably the last thing I sent you.
You wrap up with that thought, Steve, I do have a question because after you're done, because it does address what I went over, the modification, the predicate for the question involving this involves the modification of our behaviors based on the narrative being pushed. And, the question about who benefits from chaos at the stores, at maybe, the stores changing policies and such by saying, well, you can't come in, but you can order online and such. So go ahead and finish that thought, and then I'm going to hit you with a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. The legal term is what? Who benefits? What is it? Qui bono?
Qui bono, yeah.
Qui bono, okay. Well, here's who benefits: the communists that are overthrowing the United States. I stand by my statement. This isn't a Marxist takedown. This is a communist takeover and takedown of the United States. George Soros, 95 years old, said he wants to live long enough to see the United States destroyed. And, and that's really critical. Doug, here is the point. Terrorism is designed to put fear into people. And now we're seeing all of the different events taking place. But the most tragic thing I know is when, and we've talked about on your show, when parents can't feed their kids, when parents can't feed themselves, and all the people that said, oh, I love AI. AI is the most over-invested technology that exists, but it's also what I would call technological sucker bait. And I know a little bit about AI, quite a bit actually, because I see the overwhelming evidence of the supernatural evil drawing humans into it to be consumed by it and destroyed by it. So I want people to recognize this. I can't tell you that, every store is going to close down or when. I can only tell you this, that a lot of the back stock has been taken out of warehouses and will not be available. So let's say there's a run on food because everybody panics and, obviously SNAP benefits would still, even if they came tomorrow, and Schumer and the Democrats, I want everybody to know something. 90% of the social media complainers are Democrats, and yet it's the Democrats, they voted down the appropriations that are necessary for SNAP, food stamps, and electronic benefit transfers. Do you see the mayhem? Who has the most to benefit? those who hate America, and I'm not talking about foreign nations, Jesus said, and again, Jesus nailed it, okay? He said that nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, Matthew 24. And nation is ethnos. And ladies and gentlemen, the majority of our issues right now are ethnic issues. Ethnic issues. You have the people that believe they're owed reparations. You have the people that basically want their land back. You've got all these people that want something. It used to be everyone was gracious and glad to be an American. They didn't put anything in front of it. No Afro-American, no Japanese-American. It was the, if you will, the uniqueness of the America that was. Now we have the separation of, you know, race war, and that was promulgated and brought on by Barack Obama, and he said, watch what he will do. And America is no longer a Christian nation. That's true. Islam now is overruling the country, overrunning the country. And now you got Mondami, that's what I call the guy. I mean, he can't even legally run. He's not a citizen. But that didn't stop, you know, Barry Sotero, Barack Obama. And how does a president for, 8 years end up with $175 million?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that just, look, politics is the gateway for everyone to, hey, I got mine, too bad for you kind of thing. Yep.
Yeah, Gerald Celente nails it when he calls them polyticks, okay? And like a tick, and you get Lyme disease from ticks, but a tick sucks your blood. And, you know, so you have the politicos, and I'll never forget Gerald's statement on that. They're sucking the lifeblood out of Americans. And there's a breaking point, Doug, and I believe all the food control is weaponized warfare against the American people. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, the middle class has been destroyed. Do you remember you and I talking about that 5-6 years ago? And I remember the middle class is being destroyed. It will cease to exist. Yeah. If you watch the Epic Economist videos, I mean, he does a great job on showing you all of the evidence, you know, of what's going on. And so what I want to just share with the people that go grocery shopping, look, there's too much rumor out there and too much angst being built, because tomorrow, obviously, is the 31st. And then Saturday is, you know, November 1st. And that's when the benefits are, you know, already causing a lot of, what would you say, concern. And it should. It should be concerning to everybody that we got money to basically do all this crazy stuff. And by the way, I know how many illegal immigrants, and that term is a legitimate term. They get paid while the people have been hardworking, been taxed to death. And now we've got people living in their cars. We've got basically the blessing that God gave us. You know, we no longer have a United States. We have a disunited States. The nation will go to war against itself. And, you know, it's at war against war with itself right now. So, Eric, I want to put this up, if I have your permission, Doug, because I want people to understand, we are at war. We have already in the West declared nuclear war against Russia. We just haven't launched the missiles yet. And if we have, and they've been intercepted, you'll never know, I'll never know, unless somebody breaks ranks, you know, and says, hey, you know, they took us out. They took out one of our planes. They took out one of our ships, one of our submarines. So I want everyone to know that the war that's going on now, well, it's not, you know, guns and tanks, at least involving U.S., but the whole drone war has changed the face of warfare forever. The Poseidon nuclear torpedo, but most importantly, beyond anything, the new Russian atomic-fueled cruise missile has changed the entire battlefield, because they can stay aloft, they can stay aloof, meaning they can stay off, but in an instant, they can fire, you know, they can fire their warheads, and they can, how should I say this? They can show up instantly, almost unannounced, and do whatever they're designed to do. So Kremlin vows response if U.S. violates nuclear moratorium. And what I've noticed about the Russians, they usually use what I call measured response. And so when we're talking about violating the nuclear moratorium, I don't know what their response will be, but this is crazy talk, you guys. We can't back it up. And I don't care what General Snottlebeam says or, you know, Trader Milley says, Michael Yon is the guy that's told the whole country what's going down, whether it was in the Darien Gap. I just got an email from today. He's in Japan. And nobody's got a better handle on the battlefield. He's not a keyboard warrior. He's you know, Green Beret. The guy's got battlefield experience. And he's got. And
Steve, Michael Yon has no, like you and I now, like I don't have any filter left. I don't care. That guy will call it out, whether it's regardless of the topic, he'll call it out, and he's got the creds to do so and the experience to do so. I'm glad you mentioned him. And by the way, before we move off or into that topic, real quick. The first hour I spent talking about behavioral modification and in part how to spot psyops or you know, if somebody's gaming you or pushing you to a certain narrative. With regard to the SNAP benefits, the welfare, all of that taking place, and this does extend into what you're talking about now. Number one, working backwards. I find it very interesting, if not, and certainly not coincidental, that Barry Satoru or Barack Hussein Obama, as a junior senator from Illinois, was hand selected by the committee, Lugar Commission, to go to Russia to draw down their nuclear stockpiles back in, what was it, 05, 06, 07. And I find it very interesting that he was put in that position. And look where we're at now in terms of our capabilities versus Russia's capabilities. I don't think it's a coincidence.
No, it isn't. It isn't a coincidence.
Yeah, I'll stop
here's
there.
Here's the deal. The Russians, they said goodbye to communism. And again, I want people to understand something. God blesses nations and leaders of nations when they do that which is right in his sight. You don't see the Russians out whacking weenies off little boys or cutting the breasts off women. You don't see, you know, people doing that. You don't see the Russians, you know, parading pink hair, green hair, purple hair, you know, all out through their streets. And I don't think anybody's done more for families. I mean, President Putin was giving Russian couples, I forget, $10,000 U.S., you know, to go out and basically have children. But what's important, too, he set equal weights before the world. We in the United States sat and watched the American dollar decimate country after country after country. We watched our intelligence agencies destroy, destroy, destroy. We watched all of this stuff going on until finally, and I think it was brilliant. Listen, it's not a lie to tell when someone does something brilliant, and I believe President Putin did this, and it was brilliant. He's the one that people should be thanking for putting a floor on gold. He put it at, you know, $50 per gram, you know, $1,600 some dollars. And now look at it, you know, right now today it's just 4,025 or something, and it got to 5,000 or just right under 5,000 the futures. So what is unjust measures, God holds people responsible. And, you know, with the BRICS nation, they're going to have their own equivalent of a SWIFT system, and it'll be instantaneous. It won't be, you know, you got to wait for 2 days. I mean, I used to do a lot of international wires, you know, and now, I mean, good night. It takes 2 days to get a wire from point A in the United States pretty much to point B. And look at what he's standing for. And look, I am a pragmatist. Someone said, well, you must be proud of that. Yeah, I am, because I believe optimists will never tell the truth of what's really happening, and pessimists don't have the understanding of history to explain what's happening. So a pragmatist, see both sides, you know, and just because the whole world, every time, I'll tell you what, the Daily Mail so infuriates me because They can't get away from name calling. They cannot deal with, you know, what's going on. Tucker Carlson went to Russia, obviously interviewed Putin, obviously went into the supermarkets. But our terrifying tariffs are destroying the United States. It's the American people that pay for the tariffs. It's destroying the military. We don't have the morphine. We don't have the bandages. We don't have the antibiotics. What is it? Amoxicillin? Almost all of it's made. It was made in China. And so, you know, I'm about now trying to help people in personal protection to think it through. If the problem now is the weaponization of food, then I want people to be very careful, because I don't know the degree of who's lying, you know, who's telling the truth, and time will tell. But you don't want to be in hell on earth, you know, in a parking lot, walking to your car with a bag of groceries, not recognizing the guy that's scoping you out in the parking lot to follow you home to steal your groceries. Now, look, it even goes more sinister than that. I remember years ago, probably 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, being in Dallas during a Christmas season at, you know, I forget which one of the, where Neiman Marcus's store was, you know, North Dallas or whatever. There was a shopping center there. And in those days, they actually had people hiding under cars. And when the shopper would come out, they stab their foot or cut their Achilles heel, you know. I remember being there and seeing what was going on. I didn't watch anybody get their Achilles heel cut. But most people don't do two things. They'll never look under the car, and they'll never look in their back seat before getting in. And so now with the technology out there to capture your key code and then to follow you home and capture your garage code, ladies and gentlemen, these are some of the suggestions I'm going to give to you. I've never put them out on my podcast. I just wrote them tonight for this podcast, because we're coming in to the most dangerous time in our history, both from without World War III, and we're the ones, the West is provoking it. They're totally provoking it. And at home, and again, Starvation Nation is not just going to be a rhyme. It's going to be a literal fulfillment. So, Eric, again, I've had you put it up a couple times, but let's go up through it. Okay. Number one, never shop alone, especially at grocery stores. Have someone with you, husband or friend, who is alert and can watch your back. Number two, surveil the parking lot for cars that are idling and spotting for obvious, I can't say the word, and are oblivious shoppers. Three, look under the car and back seat before getting in the vehicle. You know, I didn't spell same right. Same thing with those using ATM machines. Have someone with you. Be aware of people talking or texting in stores, because the spotters are signaling them, maybe texting them or calling them to give them a heads up on the lady with the blue shirt or blue coat and a, you know, brown purse. And this is really important that I think people do this. You know, they're going to be marking people as easy pickings. Carry cash in your pocket and driver's license. You don't need to be searching through your purse, looking, fidgeting around for your money. You know, you can, if you know you've got $200 to spend on groceries, get 20s. Don't go in with 50s and 100s. Those are like magnets, okay? And again, the next thing is you need to be aware of your surroundings at all times, and all who use wireless keys should use their actual key. You know, I have a wireless key, but I press a button, the real key comes out. And you've got to understand, people are now becoming so sophisticated, the technology, they can buy it cheap. I think it's even available on eBay to basically capture your code. You click your code going into your car, you click it again coming out of your car. There are people that capture that. Then they track you home. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, Doug and I have been sponsored by the Escape Zone, escapezone.com, sat123.com. Get a dark bag big enough to put your key in. Not only your key, but your garage door clicker. If you think you're being tailed, Don't go to your own driveway. Don't click the clicker. And if you really know you're being tailed and they've made four right-hand turns and so have you, then just drive straight to the police department, honk your horn until somebody comes out, because that will usually drive them away. But remember, they can capture your license plate. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a dirty pool, and your life is at stake. Next one, Eric. I think there's only a couple more. Sorry for my misspelling.
Steve, go through the. I'll tell you what. This is sage advice. If we go into overtime, let's go into overtime. Let's okay. get this out there. All right. So don't kill yourself. You know, going through this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't want to rush, but and again, I apologize for my spelling errors. You know. What can I say? Satellite123.com, sat phone. I want people to recognize cell phones. The power that will run a cell phone tower is measured in minutes when the power goes off. That's why you see those little block houses. Some of them have emergency generators. But when the power goes out, the cell towers go down. That's why a satellite phone is the answer. Now, not everybody needs one. If you have to ask the answer, well, who would I call? You don't need a sat phone. But if you have kids, if you have friends overseas, you know, have your sat phone. Satellite phone store offers some great deals on their Iridium, and also, you know, their new Starlink package is second to none. A portable Starlink. I actually have a little backpack. I carry it in my truck, and if I need to get on the internet, I can pull over, you know, and I can put the receiver on my truck, tape it down with the gaffer's tape or that 100-mile-an-hour tape, and if I can sync up the satellite, you just point the dish, and you have a little deal on your cell phone that operates independently of cell phone towers, and basically it's just a little compass, and it goes, you know, basically it shows you when you're synced and linked, and it's a neat thing. So the satellite phone store's got a terrific deal on Starlink, the portable ones. You know, some people have them for their house. I don't, but I'm